Bless the Lord. All right. Well, as we come up to this last Sunday of October, I've been using this theme of the ghost of God and the ghost in the room, I say. The Holy Spirit, of course, the Holy Ghost. But, you know, there's so much talk about ghosts going on because of Halloween. It's the second most profitable holiday for retailers in our nation. And it's all about death and darkness and ghosts and ghouls and all kinds of other things. I kind of like the costume party part, but what does that entail and where are we going with all of these things? Well, I've spoken here during this time about the idea that the Holy Spirit, the ghost of God, is a person, a personal spirit for us. I talked about the Holy Spirit, the ghost in the room, is our paraclete, the one who stands next to us, who's called out to be with us. I talked about how practical the ghost of God is, practically giving us strength and healing and direction in so many ways. And also last week about how the power of the Holy Ghost works through his believers. And today the theme I'm using is the ghost of God is present with us. Now, I almost wrote in this title, the ghost of God is presence, because that's one of the primary purposes of the Holy Ghost, standing in for God, standing in for Jesus, standing in for himself. He is the third person. He's not separated from the Father and Son, yet in still ways he's still separate from them. Just as Jesus and the Father have their personality, so does the Holy Spirit. They each one persons in this great reality of our God, the Holy Trinity. And so, again, I'm not talking about Trinity, but I'm reminding you of it as I bring that up. So the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the person that is present in power, present in purpose, present in practicality, present as the one who stands next to us. Now, so just going to go through some things that this presence of God really means for us. And that starts with the reality that the Holy Ghost's presence is promised. The Holy Ghost's presence is promised. It's promised to us. I like where the promise comes from. It comes from Jesus himself. And the first part of that is when we are gathered in prayer, the Holy Ghost's presence is promised. As we gather, when two or three are gathered, here's a scripture in Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Now, we don't see the physical body of Christ when we're gathered. We experience the presence of him through the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the great mediator that pulls along the reality of God the Father, God the Son, into us as we gather. When we're gathered in prayer, two or three, when it is a group, there am I among them. Now, one thing I want you to notice about the presence of the Holy Spirit, it is a personal presence, but even more so, it is a community presence. It's a presence of the Holy Ghost within the community of believers, where two or three are gathered. You only need a couple, and the Holy Spirit is there. But it's important that when we have opportunity, we gather to pray, to experience Christ in our midst. That's the Holy Ghost version of Jesus Christ right here with us. So the Holy Ghost presence is promised when we are gathered in prayer, but also as we rely on Jesus. Because even when in the promise for the paraclete, the one who stands with us, It comes because we are leaning on Jesus. Jesus knew that leaning on him was important for his disciples, but he also knew that he was going to leave them alone in these last hours before he went to the cross. He says in John 14, between the final supper they had together and the arrest in the garden and the cross, Jesus says this to his disciples, starting to grieve him already, "I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper," that is the word paraclete, "to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." The presence of the Holy Ghost is promised by Jesus himself. Now, Jesus was with us, and we know when we see the baptism stories of Jesus that just so that all the believers would know, those who were gathered in faith at the baptism of Jesus witnessed the Holy Spirit descending upon him as a dove. And so that experience of Jesus being enriched and being shadowed and being proclaimed as the one on whom the Spirit is placed also knows that as he leaves, the disciples are going to feel a loss there that can be filled by Christ himself. And he promises to do this, asking the Father to send the Spirit. Later on, it happens that both the Father is sending him and the Son is sending him, but the Spirit comes on his own because it is the purpose of all three together. "You know him," he says to his disciples, "for he dwells with you." So in Jesus, the Spirit was already with them in presence. But now, when Jesus physically is absent, he said the promise is he will be in you. The promise of prayer, he's in our midst when we pray. The promise of this presence is that he will be in you. This presence of the Holy Spirit is not something outside of us. It's something inside of us. It's not something that we have to beg and beg and beg and plead God for. It is promised when we believe. It's promised when we put ourselves in the hands of Jesus, when we rely on Jesus. It's also promised when we share Jesus with others. And this comes even in that great commission that we are given at the end of Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you even to the end of the age. When we share Jesus with others, we have this promise that his Holy Spirit brings Christ in the midst of our sharing. Jesus is with you always, with us always, and it's present when we share Jesus with others in the process of making disciples as we go and tell all people about Christ. If you read through the book of Acts, which I was doing that this week and this morning and last night and yesterday, you're reading through the book of Acts, and you look at that and see how often the Holy Spirit leads, directs, stops, prevents, pulls on, invests in people, hands on. The Holy Spirit is there all the time. And read through the book of Acts with an eye toward the Spirit, and you'll be surprised almost by just the prominence of the Spirit coming right behind that first priority of sharing the good news, sharing the gospel. And as we share the gospel, that presence is there, the presence of Christ himself. As we lead all to Christ, that presence of Christ in the Holy Spirit. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit works to do all of that stuff. Well, this is a promised presence that is very practical again. We talked about those words, practical and with us and powerful in this person of the Holy Spirit. This is a very real empowerment of God's people for God's purpose. And we read that in Acts chapter 2. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. You remember Acts chapter 1, Jesus says, wait in Jerusalem until you receive the power from on high. When you receive it, I will make you my witnesses. It'll start here. It'll spread out to Samaria. It'll go to all the ends of the world by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so they gathered together. They stayed together, 120 praying together. They were seeking the Lord. They weren't seeking the Spirit. They were seeking Jesus. They were talking, sharing the gospel among themselves. They were praying that God would do whatever it was that God was going to do. Jesus told them to wait till they received the power. And in the midst of this prayer meeting, the Holy Spirit, a mighty wind, and the building shakes, and the tongues of fire, and suddenly something brand new was happening. Acts chapter 2, verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. I went ahead and used the King James here because I'm using this ghost term all the way. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So this word ghost and spirit are used interchangeably here in King James. It's because the word that is there, pneuma, can be translated in all these kinds of ways. Holy Ghost is a special designation in the King James for the third person of the Trinity. But all over, it is, that third person is present simply in the word Spirit when it refers to the Spirit of God at work. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They began to speak with other tongues because they were in the midst of a crowd that came from a dozen or more nations and languages. Remember, there are 120 in that room. The tongues of fire came on all of them, and they began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance, so that each one was able to speak a language that some other would hear and understand as their own. And they were absolutely amazed. And in that day, God did his miracles of giving them power and giving them confidence and allowing them to speak the gospel in such a way. All of them, because this is why it sounded like such a noisy mess, and people said, hey, they must be a drunken crowd over there. But Peter said, no, it's just early in the morning. This is not what happened. It is God's Spirit at work as they shared the good news of Jesus Christ. And Paul talks about his own ministry in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and talks about how the Holy Spirit has been at work, empowering him for God's purpose. He says, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee, empowered to the Spirit to promote the gospel of Christ, to go into all the world, to share in places they haven't been. Remember, he's writing to Corinth, which is all the way around. You have to trek through Syria and through Turkey and through Albania and up northern Greece. They used to be in Macedonia, and then down into the peninsula where Corinth is. It was a long way off. And Paul was writing about the gospel to them and understanding it more clearly. And he says, but this is because the Spirit has been at work in us, fulfilling what Jesus had promised in Acts chapter 1. You will be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit, when the power comes upon you. And this promised presence also lives in those who repent and are forgiven. And that's important to know, because it's not just about the apostles, it's not just about leaders, it's not just about some who are called as pastors and other things. It says in Acts chapter 2, verses 28 to 30, 38 to 39, Peter said to them, as they were asking what to do, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." The promise presence lives also in those who repent and are forgiven over the miles, over the years, over the places, through all of the generations. Imagine how God has allowed this gospel message. We have record of what was written 2,000 years ago, now translated into our own languages in the written word, which is also a miracle work of the Holy Spirit to preserve the Bible and allow us to have it. We have this record. We read out of a 2,000-year-old book that makes sense to us today because the Holy Spirit is still at work. The Holy Spirit is still present. He works through his word. He works through his people. He lives in those who repent and are forgiven for the purposes of the gospel. And as this happens, this is the Holy Spirit, this promised presence that empowers people for God's purpose, that lives in those who repent and are forgiven, who gives life in place of death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. And Paul goes on to say, "You, however, are not working in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you." Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Whoa, now we have to be careful what side of that fence we're on, don't we? Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But it says, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit dwells in you." The next verse says this, "But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life." Not just alive, but life. The Spirit is life. The presence is life because of righteousness. Not our righteousness, but Christ's righteousness. This is how we share the righteousness of Christ. This is how we were listening. Bobby and I were listening to a song on the way in called Flawless. We are made flawless. If you don't read the words to that, you can hardly understand the word flawless with those soft vowels in it in the song. But the word is flawless. We are made perfect through the cross, through the blood of Christ. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness, his righteousness given to us. And here's the next verse after that. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ said that in his prayer, actually he prayed to Jesus in John 7, or Jesus prayed to God the Father in John 17, that we would understand that God is in him, he is in us, we are in Christ. We are all bound together, and that's where life is, for God is life. The Spirit is life. Jesus is life. The presence in us is life in place of death. And we need to know that God is active and is still giving life day by day by day. Now, there's a real important part of the Holy Ghost presence that we need to make sure we don't miss. I talked about it already in the very first verse that I used. When Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered together in prayer, there I am in their midst." If we're gathered in his name, he is there. He is present. The Holy Ghost is present, and we need to catch this and be sure of this. The Holy Ghost is present in the church, in the body of believers. There's many times when the Holy Spirit is described as present in the gathering of the church. because this is the reality of what God wants to do through His Spirit, is to make His church into all that He intends His church to be. The Holy Spirit is present in the church, in the body of believers. This is a familiar passage that we read, but we have to remember how to read this one. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17. Do you not know that y'all are God's temple and that God lives in y'all? That's a plural you see. And saying it Southern works best, you know, for us in English. Y'all are God's temple, gathered together. This is in the context of speaking to the church, and Paul says, don't you know that is where the Spirit dwells? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you, y'all, are that temple. It's no longer the brick and mortar. It's no longer the stones on the hill in Jerusalem. It is the people of God, the people of Christ. Y'all are God's temple. The Spirit dwells in you. That's how you are God's temple, is by that indwelling of the Spirit as we are together in the body of believers. Now, this is important because it helps us to keep on track. In the body of believers, we're self-correcting. But out on our own, if we are trying to say, the Spirit told me this, without anybody to check us, we're going to come in with something that we imagine rather than something that Christ has spoken through His Spirit. The body of believers is a checksum for us. It's a way to validate what's going on. It's a way to share together, enjoy together, and experience together what God is doing. And so we pray when we're gathered that the Spirit of Christ would be with us. But also the Spirit, the Holy Ghost is present in the Christian, the believer's body. The body of believers in the believer's body, and we hear that in this next part of, well, another chapter of 1 Corinthians in chapter 6. Do you not know that your body, now this one's individual, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. The body of believers is the temple, but your body individually is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. It's important what we do. It's important how we treat what God has given us. It's important how we celebrate Christ together. Now, the Holy Ghost is present in the church, the body of believers. The Holy Ghost is present in the Christian, which the believer's body. And how is that happening? Because God is building the body for God's purposes, and this is our body and the body of Christ together. God is present in order to put together all that He wants and needs in this. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. In whom the whole structure being joined together, speaking of the body of Christ, the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Him, you also, individually, are being built together. We are one of the bricks into a dwelling place, the temple of God, for God by the Spirit. See, we can't do this by ourselves. We can make up rules and we can make up bylaws. We can make lists of membership. We can make oaths, pledges and oaths to one another. But it is only the Spirit that is capable of knitting us together, binding us together, and putting us into the body that is Christ. In Him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. This is why there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body. And we always have to see the whole church, all the church, the one body of believers, not just our little tiny pocket of it, not just our group that gathers together, but we need to see Christ at work in all of those who are truly washed by the blood of Christ. We reach our hands in fellowship to every blood-washed one, regardless of race, creed, color, language, ability, disability, whatever else, it is all us together. And this presence that builds God's body is building the body for God's purposes. And this presence, finally, is our promise of life. Now, I already said that the Spirit is life, but it's also the promise that we carry with us. We need to carry this promise so that we know for sure that Christ is with us, Christ is in us, that we might know him. We got to spend time in prayer. We got to spend time in the Word. We got to spend time together because the Spirit is in the Word. The Spirit is in our prayer. The Spirit is in us gathered together. And his presence is our promise of life. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies. That's in us and through our witness. Because the Spirit is the truth. The truth of our witness. We only get that from the Spirit, but we need to have it together with the reality of who Christ is. The Spirit always speaks for Christ, always speaks as a representative of Christ, never speaks on its own, solo, separated from God. It is a separate person, but not separated from God. The Spirit will never argue with the Trinity, as the Spirit gives to us his life. And then finally, I want to share in 1 John chapter 5, 11 and 12. And this is the testimony. This is the testimony each Christian can take with us, and each Christian should share with the world. This is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. This life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. It is the important promise of life. It is the reality that we share. We preach the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It is that salvation that brings us into the relationship with God. It is that relationship of God that is promised through the work of Christ on the cross. It is that relationship of God that comes by the water and the blood, by the reality of the human person of Jesus, and by reality of the blood of the cross that is our forgiveness for sins. Jesus Christ, who also gives us the Spirit, the one who testifies, tells us what this is all about. This is the testimony. This is what we share. This is what the Spirit empowers. This is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. This life is in his Son. Whoever has a Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Friends, if you have Christ, you have this Spirit, you have this life. The presence is life. The presence is for you, and the presence is for your witness in the world. Go in the power of Christ and proclaim the good news that the ghost of God, the Holy Spirit, is present and present in you. Let us pray. Father, thank you for these promises, for the purposes you have, for the powerful reality of the Spirit of God, for the testimony that holds us up against whatever we might face, for the goodness that you bring through your Spirit. Father, help us to experience that testimony, to know that testimony, to share that testimony. And Lord, if we don't have that testimony in us, Father, I pray that by a surrender of our will, each one would experience the presence of your will in us through the Holy Spirit. May you be praised forever by the power of the Spirit. Receive our praises in Jesus' name. Amen.